Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day that you have invited us into. We thank you, Father, that you have kept us through the evening. We thank you, Father, that your word tells us that you neither sleep nor do you slumber, and that your thoughts are always turned towards us. And so, Father, thank you for keeping us safely through the evening and inviting us into this glorious day, a day that we have never seen before. We say thank you. Father, we acknowledge you in all of your splendor and all of your glory. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. And we acknowledge you this morning for who you are and whose we are in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, before I ask anything, I just ask that you would forgive us of sin. It is very important that we do that. Forgive us of sin in our lives. And I thank you, and I thank you that I know that your word says that you will do just that, forgiving our sin, casting it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore as far as the east is from the west. And I thank you, Father, that you give us repentant hearts, which means to turn from that which is not like you, and to choose to walk in your will, found in your word, walk in your ways, found in your word, walk in your precepts and principles, which are found in your word. And Father, as you forgive us, let us in turn forgive each other. We thank you. I thank you today. I bless your holy name. I ask, Father, that you would bless this time of bringing forth the word that you have given to me. I thank you, Father, that you would open the ears of those that are listening live and those that will listen on the replay. And I thank you, Father, that we will not just be hearers of the word, Father, that we will be doers of the word in the earth, good image bearers for you, living epistles, ambassadors who represent you and represent you well in the earth, that many, many will cry out, what must I do to be saved, and have then the opportunity to spend all of eternity with you in paradise and not be lost to eternal damnation. Bless this time. Bless these precious people. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Again, good morning. On behalf of the Life for Jesus Kingdom Ministries and Apostle Dr. Alfreda Bradford, I bring you greetings. My name is Sister Tanya, and I'd like to welcome you this morning. I am just so privileged, if I may use that word, to have been asked to share a message with you this morning. And so to all of our visitors and our listening audience, I am just elated to be with you this morning and to share what the Lord has given me to share this morning. Whenever I'm asked to minister a message, I always go before the Lord and ask him what he would have me to share so that I am in line with what he would want his children to hear. You know, if you've been listening into the various messages that Apostle Dr. Bradford has been giving, she is on the topic of obedience. Obedience. And so as I sought the Lord, he gave me, if I were to theme my message, what is your obedience plan? What is your obedience plan? And so I'm going to ask you this morning to ask yourself, are you living in a way that shows that God is Lord over every area in your life? Are you living in obedience to God in every area of your life? So this morning we're going to talk about a plan for obedience, and we want to pin down our plan. It's important to plan. We plan for everything else. So this morning we're going to talk about our plan for obedience. We planned for our summer vacations. We'll soon be planning our Thanksgiving dinner. We plan our Christmas gatherings. We plan our New Year's Eve what we're going to do, where we're going to be, what's going to be happening New Year's Eve. We make weekly food plans, plans to stay fit, long-term financial security plans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We plan for everything except obeying God according to what he instructs us in his word to do. So this morning, let's plan to be obedient. Make an obedience plan. That's what we're going to call it, an obedience plan. We're going to make one on paper area of our lives. It's just like when we do goal setting. We write out the plan. And so I want to encourage you when you jump off the phone this morning to write out your obedience plan over the weekend, to start to write out your obedience plan. And I'm going to suggest that you start in an area where you currently find yourself struggling in obedience. And I'm just going to give you some examples. You know where you're struggling. I know where I'm struggling. And we can look into the Word of God to see where he wants us to be obedient. I'm just going to pose some examples this morning. Walking upright, not lying, gossiping, cheating, living holy, presenting your body a living sacrifice, not being a glutton. We call that in modern times supersizing. They may give it to us in a supersize. We don't have to eat it all at one time. Not having sex outside of marriage. We're talking about an obedience plan. Having humility, walking in forgiveness, being patient, being kind, not being jealous, envious, boastful, irritable, proud, selfish, or rude, not being judgmental, not holding grudges. You get the point, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As you make your obedience plan, you want to also write down the benefits of being obedient in every area of your life. And this is so important because you want to engage not only your conscious mind, but your subconscious mind and the benefit of being obedient, because there are many, 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 many benefits to being obedient. And then in your plan of obedience, our obedience plan, you want to write down the obstacles that can get in your way. This is very important, so when those things show up, you already know, you have anticipated that they were coming, and you know how to sidestep them and continue to press towards the mark of being obedient. And then write down the action steps you will take. Absolutely write down the action steps that you will take. And finally, set a date. And in this case, I'm going to give you the date. We are going to begin immediately. Begin immediately. Why? Because we don't want to delay obedience. We do not want to delay obedience. And as a way of making sure that things move forward, I want you to put in place accountability. Accountability will look like someone to ensure you are following through in your obedience to God's principles in every area of your life. It's very critical. We don't like accountability. This is not a person to beat you up, make you feel bad, or any of that. This is someone that you can share what you're looking to do and will hold you accountable, that will help you to move forward in achieving obedience. And we want to be intentional and deliberate in our obedience plan so that we can experience, so that we can have success. Philippians 4:1 says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That means how we live our lives, our behaviors, daily conduct, day-to-day living. In the book of Ephesians, Paul teaches on the fundamentals of living the Christian life. I'm going to also suggest that you read the entire book of Ephesians for yourself. To that extent, read the Bible daily for yourself. In Joshua chapter 1, after Moses had died and Joshua is now in place to lead the people, God spoke to Joshua and said to him in verse 8, the Living Bible paraphrased, constantly remind the people about these laws, and you yourself must think about them every day and every night so that you will be sure to obey all of them, for only then will you succeed. When we say we belong to God and love Him, being obedient to God in every area of our lives is what we should be striving towards. The believer who walks in a manner worthy of the calling with which he or she has been called is one who strives, one who desires to be obedient, living the kind of life that resembles the holy character of the salvation we've been given. When we as believers walk in a manner worthy of our calling, the church is unified and God is glorified in the earth as we live in Christ-like conduct. We are called to live a life that shines a positive light on the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lives that reflect the changes God has made in us when we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts as Savior, and He, in fact, saved us. The world will always pressure us to live sinfully and selfishly. I want to read a portion of scripture from Romans chapter 7, verses 18 through 23, reading from the New Living Translation, and it reads as follows. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Verse 19, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Verse 20, but if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. Verse 22, I love the law. I love God's law with all my heart. Verse 23, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. That is why it is critical that we renew our minds. That is a part of our obedience plan, renewing our minds. Romans 12:2, the King James Version says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Living Bible paraphrase says it this way. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and in all you think. Then you will learn from your own experience how His ways, God's ways, will really satisfy you. We will know that we know that we know that we know that walking in obedience to God will really satisfy us. As we change our thoughts to line up with God's thoughts, our behaviors will change. We will choose, because it is a choice, we will choose to walk in obedience in every area of our lives, therefore, thereby, living a victorious life in the earth in Christ Jesus. So this morning, what is your obedience plan? What is your obedience plan? We are called to be different, to be holy as Christ is holy. We cannot be tolerant of sin. Jesus never dismissed sin. As individuals who have invited Jesus Christ into our hearts as Savior, learning to make Him Lord over every area of our lives, there is an expectation of holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We haven't heard those words in a long time, or that one particular word, right? Holy, but the word of God says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We can, you and I, we can choose to be holy, live holy, walk in holiness as Jesus did when we are obedient to the word of God. Adam, you remember Adam in Genesis, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam is an example to us of what the consequences look like for being disobedient. Romans chapter 5, verse 19 says, for just as through one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, many were made sinners. We want to be like Jesus. The latter part of verse 19 in Romans chapter 5 says, so through the obedience of one man, Jesus, many were made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. Jesus was obedient to the cross. I bring that up this morning because there is nothing that we can do or looking to do in every area of our life that compares with Jesus being obedient to the cross. Nothing. So that means that we can, as Philippians 4:13 says, do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we can, if we choose, because it is a choice, to be obedient in every area of our lives. Jesus was obedient to the cross. Now, I want to be very clear. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, just like you and I don't always want to be obedient. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross, yet the Bible says he was obedient until death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. As I stated just a moment ago, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He asked God, his Father, if there was any other way. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, the New Living Translation, it says, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Obedience. Then Jesus faced a death more awful than we could ever imagine. God asks us to live lives that are consistent with who he is, what he has done for us, and what he has given us in Jesus. God asks us to be obedient. Let's plan to be obedient. The Bible says there is no temptation that will confront us that he will not make a way of escape. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the New Living Translation says it this way. The temptations, plural, because we have more than one temptation we will face, especially when we're speaking about being obedient in every area of our lives. The temptation in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. I think that's vitally important because as we're going through, sometimes we think it's just us. And that's why it's important to have accountability in place, because as we're sharing, someone's holding us accountability, there's dialogue, conversation, and we will begin to realize that we are not the only ones that are facing temptation. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He, God, will show you a way out so that you can endure. God doesn't want and will not set us up for failure. He's faithful to help us. He will show us a way out so that we can endure whatever temptation we are confronted with. We don't want, you and I, we don't want to ignore the still small voice of the Lord prompting us to be obedient. We don't want to ignore that voice, because if we do, the voice will eventually go away. We want to always be sensitive to God's voice, keeping in mind that the enemy, our adversary, the evil one who absolutely hates us, wants us disconnected from hearing God's voice, disconnected from God, period. So be mindful. Be mindful that the way that that happens is when we are not being obedient to the word of God. So again, this morning, what is your obedience plan? And we need to have an obedience plan. Pray to God and ask Him to give you the desire to have an obedience plan. We are on Facebook. We are in self-help books, reading them, looking for ways to improve ourselves, to be self-actualized, the very best version of ourselves. That's what they tell us in the self-help books. We are in every book but God's book. Let's plan to be in God's book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, understanding how He wants us to be obedient. Let us meditate on the Bible so God can speak to us and show us how we ought to live. This is a part of our obedience plan. And we know how to meditate. When you worry, you meditate. You take that thing that you are concerned about, overly concerned, more than you should be, and you roll it around in your head over and over and over again, minute by minute, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, sometimes months by months, meditating over and over. We know how to do it. Let us meditate on the Bible so God can speak to us and show us how we ought to live. This is a part of our obedience plan. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15, the King James Version says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not the pastor, not the people in your family. You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Walking in obedience requires something of us. Psalms chapter 119, verse 11 says, let us hide his word in our hearts first and foremost, that we would not sin against him. We can do this by memorizing Bible verses, our scripture, for every area of our life. We can start with the area that we may be struggling in right now to be obedient. We can memorize the Bible verse, the scripture, for every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Our obedience plan, part of our obedience plan. And those scriptures, you can get, index cards. And I like to physically write. There's something about when you physically write, you're taking ownership. You can write the scripture, the Bible verse, on the index card and carry the index cards with you like I do. You can have them by your bedside. You can have them on the computer stand next to you. You can have them in the car, wherever you will see them on a daily basis, so that you can rehearse them over and over again until the verse has become second nature to you. And why is this important? So that when you find yourself in a situation where you are facing temptation, you don't have a desire to be obedient, then you will have a nevertheless, like Jesus did. You will have a nevertheless. Not my will, he said, be done. Thine will be done. And because that Bible verse is inside of you, you have meditated upon it, you have internalized it, it will be a part of the very essence and fabric of who you are, and you will do. You will do. You will do the word. And that is a part of our obedience plan, to do the word. Faith without works is dead. Always remember, always, always, always remember, there are consequences to being disobedient. There are consequences to not being obedient. When you look into the word of God, we will see that God, he is our Father. He is the lover of our soul. He calls us his friend. We truly are his beloved. We truly are the apple of his eye. He extends mercy and grace to us. He is all of those wonderful things. We will also find, as we read and study the word, that he is a God of judgment, that he enacted judgment time and time and time again for people, his people, he said, let us make man in our image. He created all of us, his children, his people, but we became rebellious because of what Adam did in the garden, his act of disobedience, and it plunged us into a state of sinful behavior. We're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, which is more sin. And so God became a God of judgment. We see it very clearly in the Old Testament in the time of Noah, when the people had gotten truly beside themselves, and that's putting it mildly. And God said to Noah, I want you to build me an ark because I'm going to utterly destroy mankind. And consequence for being disobedient. And as we read the Bible and believe the Bible, and I believe the Bible, the flood did come. And mankind was totally destroyed for his disobedience. So always remember, 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 there are consequences to not being obedient. And so that's why in our plan, our obedience plan, we write out the benefits for being obedient so that we can engage in being obedient, understanding that there are benefits, many, 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 many benefits to being obedient. God says in his word, there is no good thing that he will withhold from us as we walk upright before him. He says that it's his good pleasure to have us prosperous and in good health as our souls prosper. He says to us in his word that he is a very present help in the time of trouble, that we can be settled in our minds that Jehovah will take care of us. Those are just some Bible verses that I've memorized over the year and are second nature to me, that give me encouragement, that inspire me to keep pressing towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So let us continue to fix our thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all we can praise God for and be glad about. This is a part of our obedience plan found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. In our obedience, we will see what God will do. He says in his word, prove him. God will empower us to endure. We will be better witnesses to others with an effective testimony to share. We will be able to look back over our lives and see how the Lord has kept, has sustained us when the enemy attacked us. We will know that we know that we know that the Lord has brought us through time and time again and will continue to bring us through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are only truly fulfilled when we are living as God has called us to live, in obedience to Him. Don't let the enemy play you for a fool. I'm going to say that again. Do not let the enemy play you for a fool. Let us have our obedience plan in place so that we will be able to stand safe enemy strategies and tricks. Prove God. Put Him to the test and see for yourself the way He will help you walk in obedience, because you trust Him, you hear His voice, you trust His word. When we are obedient to God, He can use us for His good purpose in the earth. Amen and amen. Father God in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message on obedience. I thank you, Father, that we will choose to be obedient, that we will choose to put an obedience plan in place, and that we will begin immediately to want to walk in obedience, Father. Father, you have asked us to be light in the earth. And Father, the way that we are light is to walk in obedience to your will, to your word, to your precepts, to your principles. I thank you, Father, that those that are listening this morning, excuse me, live, and those that will listen on replay, Father, that all of us, myself included, that we will not just be hearers of the word, Father, but we will be doers of the word, and then you will be well pleased with us. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. And as a result, our lives will be living proof of who you are, what your word says you are, and what you can do. And then many, many will cry out, what must I do to be saved, Father? For it is your heart's desire, God, that none should be lost to eternal damnation. It is your desire that many would come to the saving knowledge of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, again, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, for these precious people, Father, who have been hearers of your word, and I thank you, Father, for yet another way that you are equipping us and empowering us for what you've called us to do in the earth as we represent and represent you well. I pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen and amen. This morning, as you were listening to me and you were thinking, you may have been invited and you have been thinking, I don't want to be obedient, and I'm not quite sure what she's talking about and how I really go about doing all of this. I want to invite you this morning to invite Christ into your heart as Savior. We call that salvation. And when you do that, then you have that desire to be obedient. Sin no longer will have you in bondage. In Romans chapter 10 in the Bible, in verses, I want to read verses 8 through 10 to you. It says, for salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is what we preach, Paul was talking here, is already within easy reach of each of us. In fact, it is as near as our hearts and mouths. Verse 9. For if you tell others with your own mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and believe in your own heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, and with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. I'm reading from the Living Bible Paraphrased, and I want to read verse 10 again to you. For it is by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, and with his mouth he tells others of his faith, confirming his salvation. So I invite you this morning to invite Jesus into your heart, acknowledging that you have sinned, for we have all sinned and fall short of his glory, and inviting him in. Revelations 3:20 says that Jesus is knocking at your door. It's not your front door. It's the door of your heart. And if you will open up your door, your heart to him, he will come in. And so you invite Jesus in to your heart. He comes in and salvation is wrought. It's that simple. It's not convoluted. It is that simple. And then as you've asked Jesus into your heart, salvation has occurred. Four things. You will do four things and do them consistently. Your life will forever be changed. Begin today. Begin talking to God. And you talk to God just like I've been talking to you this morning, just like you would talk to a friend, those that you talk to in the workplace, in your business, in the business sector, just like you're talking to people, that's how you talk to God, because he calls us friend. And in talking to him, you begin to develop your personal, intimate relationship with him. Start reading your Bible so God can talk to you. You want to know what he wants you to do, you need to read your Bible and get a version that you understand. This morning you heard me quote from a couple of different versions so that you understand the Bible, because when you understand the Bible, then you will do the Bible. And then you want to get into a Bible-believing, teaching church, a Bible-believing, teaching church. The Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministry is a Bible-believing, teaching church, a church in your area. And in church, because we do not want to forsake the assembling of ourselves. COVID did come, and we did need to shelter in place for a number of years. However, we want to connect with like-minded people, and we do that again now. If you are going to work, if you are going on vacation, you can surely go into the house of God and connect with like-minded people. When you will do these four things, be consistent in doing them, your life will be forever changed. And that's a good thing. That's some good news. And so I want to invite you to visit the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministry website. I would like to invite you to visit their website at lifewordjesus.org. LifeWordJesus.org. There you will find a plethora, which means a whole lot of information about the ministry, ways that you continue to plug in so that you can grow in the things of God, because you want to now grow up into your full salvation in Christ Jesus. Just like when a baby is born, the baby grows from being a baby to adolescence to a young adult to a mature adult. We want to grow. You want to grow in the things of God. So again, visit lifewordjesus.org. I want to thank all of you for joining us this morning and on replay. While we are dismissing from God, we are dismissing from each other this morning. We never dismiss from God. And so I want to encourage all of us to continue to pray without ceasing. And that just means to continue to decree and declare the word of God over ourselves, over our families, over those we know, situations that we are confronted with, situations that we see. Continue to decree and declare the word of God understanding that God's word will not return void. God is not a liar. What he says that he will do. And when he sends his word, it will accomplish what he sends it to do. So continue to decree and declare the word of God and prove him. Everyone have a simply amazing day in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.